This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Welcome back to The Morning Run. You're here with me, Roshan Kaneson, Noel Lim and Kusu Chuang. In about 15 minutes, we'll be diving into Middle East politics, especially with the COVID-19 outbreak, with James Dorsey, Senior Fellow at the S. Rajaratnam School of International Studies and the Middle East Institute. Right now, let's talk about the local port industry. Since the start of the movement control order, this restriction in economic activity has resulted in congestion of Malaysian ports, and despite ports and logistics companies being allowed to operate as part of essential services, non-essential businesses face problems in moving goods and supplies out of ports as they had to stop operating.
Yes, so I think the ports are all filled up with all these non-essential items. According to the Federation of Malaysia Freight Forwarders, the backlog of non-essential goods make up to 80% of the cargo volume and has affected port operations and capacity. I think Port Klang, Port of Penang, Johor as well have reached nearly 100% of their capacities to hold goods.
Yes, and since the end of March and early April, port clearing exercises have been carried out to ease the pressure. However, the extended MCO, what would this mean for Malaysia's ports and shipping industry? For more on this, we speak to Datuk Ruben Nyanalingam, Managing Director of Westports Holdings. Ruben, thank you so much for spending some time with us this morning. How has the MCO affected Westports? Are you currently operating, and now what are the issues you face?
Hi, thank you for having me. Well, we've been operating since we haven't stopped operating at all. We've been continuing since the beginning. And actually, operations is pretty much as the normal. We were a little bit congested on the import cargoes, right? And I think that's where those events to help ease the congestion of the ports really helped. Actually, we're going through one right now as well. So there's been three already now being done by the government, if they allow non-essential goods to leave the ports. So actually, based on these last three times, I think a lot of the congestion from the imports, even for non-essential goods, have been cleared already from our side, at least, so we can see. I'm not sure for the rest of Malaysia, but definitely in Port Klang side, I think a lot of that congestion has definitely eased. Our volumes for the first quarter have been actually okay so far. So that's not a concern, but I think going forward is where we will see the impact of the slowdown, mainly not just because of the MCO, but also because other countries are in lockdown as well. The main effect for ports and I think for shipping worldwide is the lower level of consumption that will happen this year. If anybody thinks this year we might go into recession, I think they're delusional. I think we're definitely going into recession, not just in Malaysia, but I think worldwide. And that's not just because of what's happening right now, but also because until we find a vaccine, I believe consumption will be very, very, very much in decline. And I think so from our perspective, for shipping and ports, it's pretty much the same. It depends on how consumption changes.
Yeah, Ruben, I know it's still very early in the day, but I think recently last year you passed 10 million in TEUs, which is a milestone. What is your guidance to investors this year in terms of TEUs carried?
I told analysts when I spoke to them, I'd be happy to do 10 million again this year, to be honest. Although last year we hit 10.7, if we hit 10 million again this year, I think I'd be very, very happy. Definitely, I don't see our volume decreasing for sure. I think there'll definitely be a decline. It's a question of how much we will decline. And all this is to do with, as I mentioned just now, world consumption.
Right. So, I think in your discussions with some of the major shipping alliances, what are specific challenges being faced by them, and how disruptive will this be for the global shipping industry as a whole?
Well, the major challenge for them is exactly the major challenge for us, as you mentioned, is consumption. That's the major one where all of us have to face the fact that there's going to be less consumption. The only other time in the world history when consumption, when volumes have declined for shipping and for ports, is 2009. And that again, was because consumption fell that year because of the crisis then, the financial crisis then. Consumption fell, and that's why the cargo volume fell. Again, this year, the same thing is happening. Consumption is falling, and therefore, goods are not moving because people are not consuming as much. So that's the biggest item. But the second one, which is also very troubling, is actually the fact that a lot of countries are going to lockdown. So when you go into lockdown, not all ports worldwide are working at the same time. And they have different rules in different countries and different lockdowns. So as a result, those ports may be even more congested than what we have here. And that is a major disruption for shipping lines as well. A third one is actually the fact that a lot of the crew members can't leave vessels because most countries have got immigration laws in place where the crew wants to leave, they have to be in a quarantine state and et cetera, which complicates a lot of matters for these crew members who sometimes have been in the vessels for, say, 6 to 9 months and now can't come out because of these lockdowns.
Yeah, what about the fiscal position of the company at this point in time, Ruben? Not just in terms of operating expenses and paying for salaries, but also in terms of the balance sheet and perhaps some headroom to buy back some of those shares under a scheme to, perhaps some relief to investors.
We don't participate in buyback shares, so it won't happen.
Can you give us some guidance on your dividends for this year?
Our dividend this year is, we don't actually give guidance on dividends. We give guidance on the dividend policy. And as far as the dividend policy is concerned, which will only be coming out in August, if you ask me today, I'll tell you that our plan is to keep it as the same because we haven't had a board meeting to decide on it. So we can't make any clear assumptions from that point of view. However, from between now and August is a lifetime away, so especially in a year like this. So, for now, if you ask me, I tell you that our dividend policy will remain as the same, but going forward, I don't know.
And what about expansion? Are you still going to proceed with expansion? I know this is really a difficult time, but give us some idea what will you do on the expansion front?
So, on the expansion front, all the capex that we recommitted from last year, we will continue to complete, obviously, because it's already been awarded and will be completed soon. With regards to the longer-term expansion, we're definitely going to pursue it for sure. Because for us, when we expand when we went for this expansion to double our capacity, it wasn't for the next 2 or 3 years. It's for the next 30 to 40 years. So it's not something that will derail us now just because of something like this. With regards to what it means is that I think we just have a little bit of more headroom and a little bit more buffer to do the reclamation properly, and maybe with regards to the fact that consumption will come back eventually, we think we should be the timing should be even better now right now.
So, Ruben, on that note, what support would you like to see from the government to help businesses like yours?
Well, actually, for us, we're actually running, so. From that perspective, we're okay. So what I would like, I really like the government to make sure that they help the economy get back going and make sure people don't lose their jobs because, our business, as I mentioned, is very much determined on consumption. If people don't consume, obviously we move less cargo. So as a result, we need people to be employed. We need to make sure people don't lose their jobs. We need people to be able to consume and we need consumption to go back up to where it was before. I don't see it going back up to 2019, even in 2021. And I hope in 2022 we can get back to 2019 consumption levels. And that's why I really hope that, if the government coming out with any more packages, it focuses strictly on making sure that consumption goes up in the country and make sure our production doesn't come down either.
All right. Thank you for your time. That was Dr. Ruben Yanalingam, the Managing Director at Westports Holdings Berhad, and really there emphasizing the point that for ports, consumption is key.
Yeah, I think the distinction has to be drawn between what Westports does and its proximity to the capital city in terms of, carrying fast-moving consumer goods to, say, a Pelepas, for example, down south in Johor, which they do a lot of transshipment cargo, and even Singapore as well. So, what Ruben says is obviously quite reflective of the kind of stuff that they put through their ports. What I also found interesting was the fact that there's not a company which does share buybacks, which might be interesting to provide some kind of like safe harbour for investors at this point in time.
And no pun intended there, I presume, Chuang. But right now, we're looking at the Twitter poll that we have. How soon do you see the Malaysian economy recovering? 47% saying 1 to 2 years, 28% saying 6 to 12 months, and 21% saying more than 2 years, just 5% saying 6 months or less. And really, again, Ruben there highlighting the fact that consumption being a key part for ports and really a key part of economies.
Yeah, so, I guess we should be moving on to some of our other topics. I think like MITI, for example, allowing for another 5 days to process applications. I think this is just some additional news to what we're talking about. And when more businesses open, obviously, this would be good for port operations too.
Yeah, and that was part of the Phase 3 MCO. Right now, we're going into a few messages. And when we come back, we'll be talking about Middle East politics with James Dorsey, Senior Fellow at the S. Rajaratnam School of International Studies and the Middle East Institute. Stay tuned to BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.